Well, it's so good to be with you guys in this new normal online. I want to thank you for just your emails, your DMs on Twitter and IG. Thank you for staying in contact. It is so exciting to see this adversity become just an incredible opportunity that the gospel is going forth around the world. And for those of you who are just exploring who Jesus is, the word gospel means good news. And the good news is this, that there is a king, and he's a king who gives gifts. In the ancient world, most kings asked for gifts, but our king, Jesus, gives gifts. And those gifts are the gift of forgiveness, the gift of life, the gift of purpose. And today we're gonna talk about the gift of him teaching us how to love ourselves. We're gonna learn how to dance to the rhythm of God's love. Now, speaking of dancing, I made a little video last week or so, and I was, you know, I was doing my pop locking stuff from the 1980s, and people gave me some comments on IG, that's Instagram, and they were like, "Pastor, you have rhythm." I was like, "Yeah," and they was like, "Well, you got to learn the new dances." Look, I don't want to do the whoa. I mean, I know how to do it. You know, I don't want to do the renegade. I know how to do that. Now, I might want to do the drip though, because that looked kind of fun. But no, I'm not gonna do those dances. You know why? Because I am an offspring of the 80s, man. I learned how to pop lock to Run DMC. Like, I'm still doing my moves. As long as my boo Vicky like my moves, we good. I like doing my old dance moves. You know why? Because I'm comfortable. Well, did you know that there are things that you and I do that we've gotten comfortable with that aren't good for us? And God wants to teach us some new dance moves. And a new dance move is this: we're gonna learn how to love ourselves correctly. We're gonna learn how to dance to the rhythm of God's grace and learn how to love ourselves correctly. And for many of you, you're saying, "Well, Pastor, I do love myself correctly." Well, let me ask you this, just a couple questions. Now, teenagers and preteens and elementary kids, this is called a diagnostic. Like, we're just gonna check out what's happening under the hood in our hearts. So let me ask you this question. Do you consistently feel that you don't measure up? That may be you don't measure up to your friends, you don't measure up at work, you don't measure up in your marriage, you don't measure up in your dating, you just don't measure up in life. Do you consistently feel like you're not enough, that you're not good enough? Do you ever feel like you are unworthy of love and you deserve to be treated the way you have been treated? What I found in many years of pastoral counseling, as well as in my years before Christ, is oftentimes we allow people to treat us the way we feel about ourselves. And we ask people, "Why are you in this harmful, damaging relationship?" At the end of the day, many of us feel like, "I am unworthy to be loved. I am unworthy to be treated with kindness and compassion. I'm unworthy to be loved." And then here's the final question of our diagnostic as we learn how to dance to the rhythm of God's love. When you talk to yourself, because the most important conversation you and I are ever gonna have is talking to God and talking to ourselves. As a matter of fact, we talk to ourselves more than anybody else. So let me ask you this. If I were to record the conversation you have with yourself, do you speak to yourself like someone you love? How much empathy and compassion do you have for yourself? How much grace do you have for yourself? How encouraging do you speak to yourself? Now let's marinate for a minute. If we're honest, and as we proceed through those questions, we go, "Yeah, I don't love myself correctly." For many of us, we find it easier to actually love God than to love ourselves. And here's why. We in America, and matter of fact, all over the world, we are conditioned to love things that are beautiful, to love things that are perfect. Well, God is beautiful and God is perfect, and you and I are not beautiful and we're not perfect, and at times we do ugly things, and so we find it easier to love that which is perfect. And God is going, "Well, you can never love yourself until you understand that I loved you when you were not perfect, that I loved you when you thought you were unlovable." The way we begin to love ourselves, you ready? is to be honest with ourselves and say, you know what? I am not enough, but Jesus is my enough. You know what? Outside of his love, I am unlovable, but Jesus is my love. It's almost like we have to get to the end of ourselves and go, you know what? You're right. I am those things, but in Christ, the great I am, I become something new, and we learn how to dance to the rhythm of God's love. You see, God, and when I say God, I don't mean the universe. I mean Yahweh, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. God revealed in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. God wants you to see yourself as he sees you in Christ. And we're going to walk through some key passages so you can begin to look into God's mirror and see what God sees. God wants you to see yourself as he sees you in Christ. Dark powers do not. There are dark powers, demonic powers. The scene of the crime is your mind. The way the enemy, the way dark powers tempt us, destroy us, is by telling us there's something better than Jesus that will satisfy, or if you do this, you will become something, you will become someone. And so what we're doing is we're longing and searching for three things. We are searching for love unconditional, we are searching for an identity, and we are searching for significance. And the dark powers want you to think you can find those things outside of Jesus. And it is absolutely exhausting, and it wears our souls out. We get these fussy souls, and we fuss at the people around us. It's hard to love people you're around when you don't love you. That insecurity clouds our minds and clouds our souls. You see, God wants us to see what he sees you are in Christ. So how does God do that? He opens our eyes with his amazing grace. There was a song written several hundred years ago, and one of the famous lines of the song says this: amazing grace. Let me pause here. This little section right here isn't for everybody, but I want everybody to tune in. Do you remember that time when you met Jesus and his amazing grace? Like, do you remember that time when your heart was awakened to his amazing grace? Do you remember what it was like when he looked at you with amazing grace and you melted under the glory of his love? Do you remember that? Do you remember when he first extended his nail-pierced hands out to you and says, I want to dance with you. I want you to dance to the rhythm of my amazing grace. Well, my prayer is by the end of this message that all of us, wherever you're watching from, whether if you know Jesus or yet to discover Jesus, that we would be amazed by grace. The rest of that line says this: amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, now I see. Well, God wants us to open our eyes to who he sees us to be in his beloved son, Jesus. One of the things that I love about this song, Amazing Grace, it was written by a gentleman by the name of John Newton. John Newton became a pastor in England, but his previous job before becoming a pastor was he was a slave trader. He took slaves from Africa and sold them. Jesus got a hold of his heart, and his eyes was open to, as the movie and as his book says, these beautiful black souls, these beautiful black people. And God transformed his life so much so that he wrote a song that continues to transform lives. Grace is indeed amazing that you take a slave trader and he becomes a pastor. So I got some good news for you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I got some really good news for you. You're watching and you think you've done too much. You think you've gone too far. Well, I want you to know there is nothing greater than the blood of Jesus. There's nothing that he cannot forgive. There is no battle that he will lose for your soul. He simply wants you to come. Come as you are. Bring your shame, bring your guilt, bring your brokenness, bring your toe up. Busted up from the flow up self to him, and his grace will clean you up. His grace will make you new. God is able. I love this about grace. Dr. Ken Boyle, one of my mentors from afar, wrote this: grace humbles us without degrading us and elevates us without inflating us. What does this mean? Grace tells us who we really are, that we are sinners in need of his grace, that we are lost outside of Jesus. And so grace meets us where we are, and then it takes us where he wants us to go. And I mean primarily, he's transforming us morally. He's transforming us intellectually. He's transforming all of our being, but it doesn't inflate us. It locates us in Christ himself. So how does God do this? He does this by joining us to Jesus. Now, this takes faith. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit, but this is a supernatural act where we're literally joined to Jesus. Paul is writing to the Christians at Corinth. It's a multi-ethnic church made up of Jews, primarily Gentiles, and these people came out of pagan backgrounds. They had all types of sexual immorality, and they were still struggling, and Paul tells them this. He doesn't say, cut your sexing out, cut your sinning out. He goes, but anyone joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Wait, what? Hold on. Wait, Paul, did you just say that I'm joined to Jesus? Like literally, joined to Jesus. And Paul's like, yeah, the Greek word that Paul used here is the word of a husband and wife being in physical intimacy. That is as close as a human being can get to another human being. And Paul is saying, when you come to faith in Jesus, that we are supernaturally joined to him, so much so that what's true of him is true of us. That's what makes grace amazing, that we are literally joined to Jesus. Think about that. Wherever you go, Jesus goes. Whatever you do, Jesus does with you. Can you imagine trying to cuss out your spouse with the mouth of Jesus? Teenagers, can you imagine trying to lie to your parents with the mind of Jesus? Wow, what if we actually believe that? Man, it would be glorious. Our lives would be transformed. Well, let me give you an example. Let's say that this is Jesus. Man, Jesus is holy. He's pure. He's incredible, right? And so what God does is God goes, you know what? I want you to dance to the rhythm of my love, but here's the problem, though. You are not holy. You are not pure like Jesus is. So God says, I'm gonna send Jesus, and what he's gonna do is he's gonna take your place on a cross, and he's gonna die for your sin, that in his precious blood, sin is forgiven, we're clean, we're blameless. And then when he raises from the dead, he says, through faith in me, you actually get to share my life. Here's what's beautiful. We don't give our lives to Jesus. Jesus gives his life to us so that he can live through us, so he can live for us. So by faith, he goes, you know what? Let's just tie a knot here. Like, you are eternally tied to me. You are eternal, like wherever I am, you are. You are now a part of me. This is what it means to be the body of Christ, that we are attached to Jesus. And because we're impure, God goes, you know what? I'm gonna give you a bath. I'm gonna give you a blood bath. And this precious blood, you do know there's power in the blood of Jesus. You do know that the power of Jesus and his blood is a disinfectant that removes all sin. So let me tell you something. Whatever you've done, your deepest, darkest, most heinous secret, Jesus has not whited it out. He's blooded it out. And so what happens is for all eternity, the one who is holy, the one who is blameless, the one who is pure says, Father, they are with me. Because I am yours, they are yours. Father, because you love me, you love them. Father, because I'm blameless, they're blameless. Father, because I'm free of sin, they are free of sin. Father, because I'm holy, they are holy. So all that's true of Jesus is true of us. Why? Because we are eternally united to Jesus. We are joined to Jesus. Family, this is why we preach and teach the way we do here at Transformation Church. The overwhelming majority of what I preach will be about what Jesus has done. On your best day, you can't join yourself to Jesus. On your worst day, you can't disjoint yourself from Jesus. It is about Jesus from the beginning. It is about Jesus in the middle. It is about Jesus at the end. It is about Jesus in the Cliff Notes, in the citations. It is always about Jesus. It's not about what you do or I do. Let's don't be spiritual narcissists. Spiritual narcissists are consumed with what they do. Worshipers are overwhelmed by what Jesus has done. That's how we learn to dance to the rhythm of his love, because we are joined to him. So how do we do this practically? How do we practice this? Let me give you an illustration from my former way of life. When I was a football player, one of the things that I learned early on was this. The most important part of being a football player was not the game. The most important part of being a football player was the team meetings and the practice. That when you are focused in your meetings to learn your game plan, when you are focused at practice and you're working hard, the byproduct is the game. Well, here's the deal. So many of us as followers of Jesus, we're looking for these mountaintop experiences, but most of life is lived in the valley. And God has said, I want you to practice my presence. I want you to practice the rhythm of my grace. I want you to know that you're my dwelling. I want you to know how I see you. I'm talking about practice, man, in the name of Allen Iverson, the great philosopher. So how do we dance to the rhythm of God's love? Number one is by remembering that in Christ, you are loved. So let me come back here. To be in Christ and to be joined to Christ is the same thing. You are in Christ. You are in Christ. You can't impress God. You are in Christ. Jesus has done the impressing for you. You are in Christ, and as a result of being in Christ, the way the Father loves you is the way he loves his Son. The way God the Father loves his Son is the way God the Father loves you. Let's go to the Psalms, Psalm 86, 3 through 5. Be gracious to me, Lord. By the way, that's a prayer that God will always answer. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Family, this is my prayer for us, is that when the corona pandemic is over, let's don't go back to normal. Let's don't go back to hurrying and our souls being fussy and we don't have time for our TC groups and we don't have time for Bible studies anymore and we don't have time for growing. And like, I am seeing revival take place because God has absolutely stripped us of everything. And he's saying, I am the everything. May we call to him all day long in everything that we do. He says, bring joy to your servant's heart, life. Bring happiness. Because I appeal to you, Lord. For you, Lord, are kind and ready to forgive. Oh, he's a forgiving God. He loves to forgive. Abounding in faithful love to all who call on him. Let's do just a little bit of word study here. This word faithful love is the Hebrew word chesed or chesed. It's God's covenantal love. The New Testament equivalent is agape. It's God's unconditional one way. I'm never leaving. I'm never backing out. It is life-giving, sin-forgiving, transforming love. It's what you have been created for. You can try to buy it. You can't afford it. You can search for it. You can't find it. It can only be found in one place, and it's a gift through Jesus. It's the cross. It's the resurrection. It's the love that you and I were created for. And he says, to all who call on him. I'm not a smart man, Janae, but love is love and all who call on him. So listen here. Grab your smartphone and call him. 1-800 Rose on the third day. Phone line is never busy. 10 billion people can call him at once, and he talks to everybody like they're the only one. He's a great and loving and kind and gracious God. Would you call him? For those of you who know Jesus, call him. For those of you who are yet to discover Jesus, call him. He loves his children to dance to the rhythm of his grace. 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has given us. See what great love. Some translations say lavish love. See what great love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. Let me pause here. I think we've watered down like, yes, we're all God's children. Well, in some sense, yes. But in the covenantal sense, covenant means God is going, no, you are specially mine. I've made a commitment to you. You've made a commitment to me. I've called you out of darkness into marvelous light. So there's a generic, yes, everyone's children of God, but sons and daughters of God through Christ. That's a whole different reality that we need to embrace. We need to understand. I don't know if you know this, but do you remember when you were small, or maybe you grew up in a place where you didn't have to do this, but where I grew up at, we had to throw out all the time, well, my daddy can beat up your daddy. Even though my dad wasn't around, I still said that. Well, here's the reality. Our dad can beat up everybody else's dad because our dad is a sovereign ruler and king of the universe, and that's the one who loves you. Let me give another illustration. This may help us some. I don't understand the royal family in England. I'm not being disrespectful, but what did they do? I'm not sure. But I know if you're born to that family, you got juice. You got clout. You got status. You get treated a certain way. You get a whole new title like Duchess of Wessex or Duke of Earl, I don't know, but you get status. Well, I got some good news. Our daddy is the king. He's the Lord. And when you say yes to him, you got status. You got juice. You got clout. You are loved. We're called God's children, and we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. This is a picture of my daughter, Presley. She's 23 now, and this is when I played with the Colts. Man, I looked so young. I was like a baby myself, amazing. And so she always used to dress in like a little Colts cheerleading outfit, and whenever we do events together and she wore that, everybody paid more attention to her than me, and they still do pretty much. She's a lot cuter than I am. But when Presley was really small, sometimes Vicky had a hard time putting her to sleep. And you know, being a mom is tough. Being a dad, being a parent's tough, right? And so she'd be like, here, take this girl. She keeps crying. And Presley was colicky. So what I would do is I would take her out in front of the house, 6425 Hunter's Green Court, and I would hold her, right? And I'd put her right on my chest, and I would start singing to her. You know, I would just start singing. I would just hold her and I'd sing to her. You know, I like songs like, I got sunshine on a cloud. You know, I can't sing, but whatever. I don't know if she went to sleep because I sounded so bad or maybe I sounded good. I'm not sure. But about 10 minutes later, little Presley was like knocked out, sleep. It was like my presence and my love quieted her soul. Did you know that God wants to sing over you and quiet your soul with his love? For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. Have you ever thought about this, that God takes delight in you with gladness? How can you not love yourself when God takes delight in you in gladness? With his love, he will calm all your fears. Notice it doesn't say with your 401k, with your retirement package. No. With his love, like when you find out that all you got is God's love, then you find out you got all you need. You're like, Derwin, how does that work? I'm not sure, but it does. Look at this. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Notice the language here. Gladness. Rejoice. Joyful. We have a happy God. He's a happy God who wants to put us up to his heart and sing his love over us. Would you slow down and let him sing over you? Would you let his love quiet your heart? How do we dance to the rhythm of God's grace, his love? By remembering that in Christ, you are the Father's children. You are the Father's children. We want to make being a child of God great again. That there's some juice, some clout that comes with that, that helps us to love ourselves. Ephesians chapter 1, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The word blessed here that we have these spiritual blessings. When you read Ephesians 1, chapter 1, 3 through chapter 3, verse 12, there are 23 different identities that we have because we are united in Christ. The book of Ephesians is kind of like my New Testament book that I've studied, right? And so in chapters 1, 2, and 3, there are no commands. It's just God telling us who we are in Christ so that we can love ourselves correctly. And in chapters 4 through 6, there's a command every six verses. So understand this, being precedes doing. God wants us to know who we are in Christ so that we can live like who we are in Christ. The problem is we try to live something that we don't know that we are. Being overflows into doing. So we have all these spiritual blessings in Christ. Look at this. For he chose us in him. The him is Christ. Jesus is the object of God's love and affection, and through faith in him, we are chosen in him. For he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, before time ever began. He chose us to be holy and blameless in love before him. Like we learned last week, the word holy means when Jesus comes to get us and we say yes to him, not only are we forgiven, but we are set apart for God's purposes and not our own. I've been saying this for 10 years at Transformation Church. I said for the next 40 years, please never forget this. If you don't know God's story, you'll try to put God in your story. But no, God created us to be in his story. God doesn't exist for your purposes. You and I exist for his purposes. And he bought us with his blood, and he sets us apart to say, now, not only are you clean, but you're blameless. And I've set you apart for my work in the world, and my motivation was L-O-V-E. My motivation was love. My motivation is I want to align you to the assignment. The motivation was I want you to rest in my love. The motivation is I'm gonna sing over you with love, and that's gonna move you into the world dancing to the rhythm of my love. But it's hard to dance when you don't love yourself. Verse 5, he predestined, the word means beforehand, before time ever began, God decided that whoever trusts his son would be adopted. Watch this. He predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters through Christ Jesus for himself. That God went to this orphanage called Planet Earth, and he says, I want them all. He's already signed the adoption papers, not in ink, but in blood. All you got to do is walk up and grab his hand and he will adopt you. He's already paid the price. It wasn't with silver. It wasn't with gold. It was with blood. He wants you to know, I'm ready to join you to my daddy's family. I'm ready to bring you home. I'm ready for you to discover who you truly are. Look at verse 6. Why does he do it? To the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the beloved one. Oh my, can you just bear with me? Can I just have a praise moment? You can join in with me if you want to. Look at verse 6. Why does God do this? Why does God bleed on us? Why does God rescue us? Why does God redeem us? Why does God adopt us? Why does he do it? Why does he do it? Why does he do it? Because he wants us to the praise of his glorious grace. From the morning to the midday, to the evening, we got one name on our tongue, and it's Jesus and his grace. I am concerned when Christians talk more about what they've done or what they haven't done or what they're gonna do than God's glorious grace. Those of us who've been captivated by grace, we can't get him out of our minds. We can't get him out of our lives. We can't get rid of him because we never want to, because he's captured us with his glorious grace. Transformation Church, and all of those of you who are walking with Jesus, you may not be a part of a church. Maybe you want to join, but check this out. We are a people who praise his glorious grace. I don't need to give you advice. I need to give you good news. You don't need 4, 5, 6, 7 tips for life. You need the author of life, the king of grace, to where we praise his grace, to where we're like a 5-year-old in Sunday school class, and the teacher asks a question, and the only thing we can say is Jesus. His glorious grace. And God is not stingy with his grace. He lavished on us. Check this out now. In the beloved one. You know who the beloved one is? Jesus. He lavished us in the beloved one. He lavished us in the beloved one, that we are united, that what's true of the beloved one, we, his beloved children, participate in that goodness. Check this out now. The blue check. We live in a society now where people are wanting a blue check, whether on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, IG. And when we get the blue check, it's like, man, I've made it. I remember when I got my blue check on Twitter and I had a pastor call and go, dude, congratulations. I was like, what happened? Did I do something? He goes, bro, you got verified on Twitter. And I was like, and I was kind of miffed. So maybe I didn't handle it right, but I said, dude, a blue check don't verify me. A red cross with the blood of Jesus verifies me, not a blue check. No. See, you need to know that Jesus has verified you, that Jesus is your verification, that if nobody knows your name except for Jesus, that's enough. And if everybody knows your name but Jesus doesn't know it, everybody knowing your name will never be enough. Jesus is our verification. Lastly, by remembering that in Christ, you are the body of Christ. Think about it, we all want to be significant. We all want our lives to matter. We're just born with that because we're made in the image and likeness of God. God himself is significant. And so we think our significance is gonna come from accomplishments. We think it's gonna come from what we've done or not done. And here's the thing about accomplishments. You will get fired, man. Growing up as a kid, Joe Montana was the greatest quarterback ever. You know what happened? The San Francisco 49ers got a guy named Steve Young. Guess what happened to Joe Montana? Fired. My old team, the Indianapolis Colts, they had a great quarterback named Peyton Manning. Homeboy got beat up, hurt his neck. Guess what happened? Fired. You will get fired. You will be done. 1 week, the people cheering for you. The next week, you're done. We want to be significant, but here's what makes us significant. We're the body of Christ. That's what makes us significant. Not the number of IG followers you have, not the number of TikTok followers you have. I mean, we live in a world where you can get famous for dancing for 8 seconds. Not like curing cancer, not finding something to cure COVID-19, not like feeding the hungry, not like something. Let me stop. Okay. By remembering that in Christ, you are the body of Christ. Check this out. Romans 12, 4-8. Now, as we have many parts in one body, all the parts do not have the same function, but in the same body, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of another. Look at this. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the portion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, to teach, and exhorting in exhortation, giving with generosity, leading with diligence, showing mercy with cheerfulness. What does that mean? It means this. By your union with Jesus, significance is not something you strive for, it's your birthright. And it's not based on your accomplishments, it's based on his accomplishments. When we get to the new heavens and new earth and we get off of our faces from worshiping Jesus for like 1.7 billion years and we look up, we're gonna find unsung heroes that didn't have a million IG followers that didn't write best-selling books. We're gonna find men and women of God, teenagers of God, elementary kids of God. We're gonna find people that God used in secret spaces and secret places who didn't get the hype, but who understood the King, who made a way. Like, we all so wanna be famous, and God is going, no, it's not about being famous, it's about being faithful, that all of us have a gift, that all of us are significant. And how did it happen? It happened because you were united to Christ. Now listen, here's the deal. Grace is so unfair. The rhythm of God's love is so unfair because it's not contingent upon you. It is not dependent upon you. It is dependent upon the one who for so loved the world that he came to give us life, not just in the there goes by and by, but right here, right now. He wants to dance with you. He wants to bleed on you. He wants to hold you. He wants to tell you your life matters. The world is better with you. You've got gifts. You've got talents. You've got purpose. You can make a difference. You're not an accident. Your parents might have had you on accident, but I planned it. I purposed it. I got a purpose for you. I've got a purpose for you. Precious one, would you dance with me? Would you let me hold you? Would you let me tell you? Let me quiet you with my love. Come to me, hold me, let me love you, let me love you. Would you come to him? Would you come to him? Father, help us believe. Holy Spirit, help us believe. Help us believe. KJ and a team are going to come and sing for us. This is a part of the sermon. We need the Holy Spirit's power to help us to believe. When they finish the song, I'll come out and continue the message.
So help me believe what you say about me, that I can be free, that I can be cultural. So help me believe what you say about me, that I've been redeemed, that I have been cultural. So I'm running into your love. Yes, I'm running into your love. Oh, I'm running into your love, the safety there. So I'm running into your love. Yes, I'm running into your love. Oh, I'm running into your love, the safety there.
Come on, sing this with us here.
So help me believe what you say about me, that I can be free, I can be cultural. So help me believe what you say about me, I've been redeemed, I have been cultural.
Yes, yes, yes. The life and love that you and I were created for is found in a Jewish carpenter who hails from Nazareth, born in Bethlehem by way of eternity. He came to earth with a new song. It was a song of grace, a song of love, a song of forgiveness, a song of mercy, a song of kindness. And he's invited us into a dance. He plays the music. He paid the admittance fees. He's paid it all. Pray with me right now, right where you are. Pray with me right where you know where you are. God's talking to you. He's speaking to you. Jesus is on the dance floor and he's looking at you. He is calling you. His nail-pierced hands are extended. He's wearing a robe with blood stains on it. No stains spell your name. He's calling you. He wants to give you forgiveness so you can dance the dance of life. He wants to give you grace so you can dance the dance of life. He wants to give you his life so that you can dance with him and learn to see what his Father sees. Right now, as you're watching, you're saying, hey, Pastor, I'm ready to love myself. I'm ready to forgive myself. I'm ready to experience this new life that you're describing. I'm tired. I've been searching for so long. I am exhausted. But I heard about the blood. I heard that there is blood that'll not only forgive me, but unite me to Jesus. I've heard about his resurrection, that he not only gives me his life, but he lives his life through me. I've heard that this is a free gift, an invitation of grace, and today, Lord, I am ready to dance. I'm ready. I'm ready. Today is your day. Don't delay it. Now is the moment. If you're ready to receive Jesus' invitation to be forgiven, to be united to him, to be loved, to be significant, to learn to love yourself, to have a new purpose and a new power and a new way of living, in the silence of your heart, right where you are, I want you to pray this with me. Father, I'm ready to dance with you. I'm ready to dance to the rhythm of your love. By faith, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, that should have been me on the cross, but he took my place to give me grace, that his precious blood not only forgives me, but it sets me apart, it makes me holy, that I am blameless. All of my sin was nailed to the cross, and all of Jesus's forgiveness and righteousness was nailed to me. I am united to him because on the third day, he defeated sin, he defeated death, and he rose again to live his beautiful life of love through me. by faith, I receive the greatest gift I could ever receive. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Right where you are, this is what I need you to do. Fill out the connection card there online. The instructions are coming up now. And if you prayed that prayer with me to renew your faith in Christ, to receive Christ, we want you to check, I prayed to receive Christ. Whether if you are 5 years old, 10 years old, teenager, preteen, younger millennial, older millennial, whoever you may be, let us know, because this is what we're going to do, is we're going to get some information to you to help you begin to learn how to dance. The Lord wants to grow you in dancing to the rhythm of his love. And here's what's beautiful. As you and I learn to dance, people begin to watch and go, I want to learn moves like that. And we can take them to our instructor. His name is Jesus. He doesn't charge any fees. He's admitting anybody and everybody. He's the one who will give you rhythm. So we want you to fill that information out, okay? Whether if you are in Tokyo, Lagos, Nigeria, wherever you may be, let us know. We want to connect with you. We want to help you dance to the rhythm of God's grace. Well, family, here is our soul tattoo. If you're new, thank you for being with us as our guest. Our soul tattoo is going to be what's called the daily affirmation. It's a prayer that I've written that you can read in the morning, at midday, and before you go to bed. And it reads this way. It says, Father, help me to believe that what you say about me is true. Help me to see what you see in me. Help me to take hold of who you say I am in your beloved Son. Lord Jesus, help me to believe that I am loved with an unending love. Help me to believe that I am clean and blameless because of your precious blood. Help me believe that all you say about me and have done for me is true. Holy Spirit, help me believe that I am all that God says I am because of the grace of the one who is called the great I am. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Here's our action step. This Tuesday on the Transformation Church YouTube page, I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Amen is a clinical neuroscientist. He's one of the leaders in the field of psychiatry and brain imaging. He's been a friend for years. He's spoken here at Transformation Church. But the month of May is called Mental Health Month. But here at Transformation Church, because of Dr. Amen's influence, we're going to call it Brain Health Month, because the term mental health conjures up these stigmas. But when you say brain health, the brain is an organ, and there's nothing to be ashamed about if our organ called the brain needs help, okay? And so Brain Health Month, and as a part of that and loving yourself correctly, Dr. Amen and I have just an absolutely incredible conversation. You don't want to miss this. Invite your family, invite your friends, get everybody to watch it. I am under this conviction, all right? 1 in 5 people, this is a fact, has a brain health issue in America. Nearly 50% of people incarcerated in prisons have brain health issues. Over 40% of people who are homeless have brain health issues. So if we can begin to help people with their brains, we can begin to help people be set free. So this is a conversation you want to tune into. It's going to be Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Transformation Church's YouTube page. Spread the word, spread the word. Hey, I love you guys. And when I'm walking in the neighborhood and you say hi and you've watched a message and you've been encouraged, that brings so much joy to my heart. All right? We'll catch y'all next week. Love y'all.